parents have passed away. It is good to be with you this morning. Matthew could probably tell you a few more things about me than even you, Dan, because I used to be Matthew's Sunday school teacher. So I feel very old this morning. Matthew has grown into a fine young man, and I really appreciate Fred giving me this opportunity to come. They asked me if I could tell a few things about Fred, and all of it would be good things that you people already know. So I can't really add to his ministry by telling you anything about him. His 40th birthday celebration was probably the biggest thing with us when they doused him with water from the roof of the exit of our fellowship hall and took him completely to his knees in the parking lot. So that was probably the biggest thing right there. But good memories, and I'm sure you people have the same with Fred and his family. This morning, I don't have a very long text nor a very long message, so y'all may be very glad you can beat the Baptist out here to J&S this morning and be okay. I chose a couple of verses from Ecclesiastes and some from the fourth chapter of James. From Ecclesiastes we read, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. He has made everything beautiful in its time." And from the fourth chapter of James we read, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that." Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word in the scriptures. We thank you for the living out of your word in our lives, your promises to us as we spoke to the children this morning, your promise to always be with us, your promise to support us and guide us, and your promise to lead our lives if we will give you the opportunity. We come this morning thanking you for all this and praying your continued blessing on each life here. In Jesus' name, amen. Today I want to talk for just a few minutes about dreams and the plans we have for the future. I don't mean the kind of dreams we have when we go to bed and we sleep and we have either good dreams or bad dreams. But I want to talk about the plans we have, the things we plan for the future to happen in our lives. The plans that we've laid out are like a map of our progress to the goals that we set for ourselves. And lots of times we even set a time frame when we want to accomplish this. I want to have this much money in my 401k when I retire. Well, we can forget that, can't we? That plan won't happen unless we're Matthew and the young people's age and we're planning for that. That may happen. We say that I want to accomplish this in my job. I want to work here until I retire and I will be this position. That won't work either, will it, Dan? That too can go away. So sometimes the plans that we have for our future just don't happen the way we'd always thought they might happen. They don't come true. And I think that today's text can remind us that there's a time for everything and that it all eventually works out in God's time and the way that God wants it to be, not necessarily our time. James gives us the view in this fourth chapter of the book of James of how the worldly men leave God out of their plans. He tells them that they're vain and how vain it is to look for anything good without God's blessing and God's guidance. We are always to depend on the will of God. Our times are not in our own hands, but at the disposal of God. Our heads are filled with cares about ourselves, about our families, about our friends, about our church, our world. But sometimes, providence can throw our plans into utter confusion. All we design and all we do should be with submissive dependence on God. James painted the picture that his readers would understand. Bible writers had a way of doing that, didn't they? They put it in common terms that they could relate to. James thought maybe they could even see their own portrait, their own lives, in this story that he told. Because the Jews were great traders in the ancient world. And in many ways, the ancient world gave them the opportunity to practice their commercial abilities. This was an age of founding cities. And sometimes when cities were founded, and when their founders were looking for citizens to occupy them, they offered freely for the Jews to come and be part of their city, because they knew that where the Jews came, there would be prosperity and there would be trade and money. So the picture is of a man looking at a map. He points at a certain spot and he says, "Here is a new city where there are great trade chances." And he makes his plans to make his fortune in that city. But James's answer is that no man has a right to make constant and confident plans for the future. For no man knows even what the day might bring. Man may propose, but God may dispose. For the future is in the hands of God. It's good to have goals, but goals will disappoint us if we leave God out of them. What would you or I like to be doing 10 years from now? 1 year from now? Even tomorrow? How will we react if God steps in and rearranges our plans? Plan ahead, but we're told to hold our plans loosely. Put God's desire at the center of our planning, and He will never disappoint us. The harsh reality is that most of us don't consider God in the midst of our everyday plans, unless, of course, it's a prayer for an urgent need, such as healing. And then we are all there asking God for every kind of guidance, aren't we? And we're supposed to. But we're supposed to do it all the time. But the majority of us don't seek God's guidance and His will when we make plans for the future, either now or later on in life. Generally speaking, we don't want to be open to God's guidance. We say we do. I say I do. But if I really want God to lead in my life, it means I have to give up control. And I like control. I like to feel in control. We all do. No one wants to feel out of control. And I thought the sign this morning when I came through, "Let go and let God," just really fit along with what I was thinking. That's strange how God works these things out. So we make our plans, and we believe they're good. But we don't understand that God has better things in store for us. In the end, we might even accept what is second best and reject what would have been better, God's plan. David Simpkin said, "If you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans." I want to share a little analogy with you here that I think goes along with this. There were three trees growing on a hill. And some of you may have heard this, especially the younger people. Each one had a dream of what it wanted to be when it became a full-grown tree. The first tree dreamed of being a treasure chest in the home of a wealthy lord. People would look at the chest with admiration. They would consider it beautiful and a perfect piece of workmanship, fit to store priceless treasures. And such a treasure chest, it would be filled with treasures like diamonds and emeralds and precious stones. The contents of the chest would be of such value that the tree would be envied by everyone, and it would be honored to store these gifts. The second tree dreamed about being the mast of a beautiful sailing ship. It would be the most important part of the ship. Every other part of the ship would depend on the mast to hold the sail, to propel the sailing ship through the water. A sailing ship would be of no use if it didn't have a mast to hold the sail. Only a perfect tree could be used for this purpose. And the second tree was going to be that perfect tree. The third tree dreamed of being the most magnificent tree in the forest. It would be a thing of beauty to be beheld by everyone. People would be in awe of the tree with its magnificent branches reaching up to heaven. The tree would be much too beautiful to be cut down and made into anything that could be used by a mere human. It would be left to be admired by everyone and envied by all the other trees. Well, the trees grew and it came time for them to be used. So the woodcutters came in and they cut the trees down, all three of them. The first tree was cut down and took to the sawmill. It was cut into boards and made into something that a man could use, just like it had dreamed. Well, it was made into something, but it wasn't made into a treasure chest that it had always said it was going to be made into, to hold diamonds and emeralds and rubies, but it was made into a feed box for a barn. The tree became a box for animals to feed, not a treasure chest full of jewels, as it has always thought. The second tree was cut down and taken to the sawmill. It was cut into boards and made into something that would be useful to man. Now that's what it wanted to be, something useful to man, envied by everyone, the mast of a sailing ship. Well, it was made into something for a boat, all right, but not a great mast. It was made into a bench for a fishing boat. This was a far cry from the great sailing ship that the tree had dreamed of becoming part of. And the third tree was cut down. Now remember, the third tree was going to be the most beautiful, so you'd think it would have the most beautiful outcome. Well, when they cut the tree up, they couldn't find any wood worth doing anything with, so they threw it on the scrap pile. You could say that the outcome for the three trees was just direct opposite of what they had visioned for their lives, couldn't you? We put ourselves in the place of these three trees and what we envision. It would have been difficult for them to say, "He has made everything beautiful in its time," wouldn't it? What they had planned was beautiful, but the outcome wasn't really pretty to the eye anyway. In time, though, that feed box made from the first tree was put into a stall. And in time, in that manger, Mary and Joseph placed baby Jesus. In time, the bench made from the second tree was put in a fishing boat. And it was on that bench that Jesus slept as he traveled on the sea with the disciples. And when the storm came up, we all know he rose and calmed the waves. And in time, a use was found for that scrap wood from the third tree. It was used to make a cross. This became the cross that Jesus carried for his crucifixion. Now, the story of the three trees is a musical presentation that my granddaughter participated in a few years ago up at Central Church in town. It seemed like a good illustration when I started putting this message together of how God can sometimes rearrange everything and come out much better in the end. The reality didn't fit the personal dreams, did it? But there was a purpose. There was a season for each of these trees, a purpose that was known only to God. The personal dreams of the trees did not come true, but the ultimate end for the trees was much greater than their dreams. That precious gift that was held by the feed box made from the first tree was more precious than any jewel that could have been put in a treasure chest. It was God's gift to us, his son. The seat on the fishing boat that the second tree became was more important than the mast of any sailing ship. The bench carried the Son of God, who would guide people on a journey more important than any imaginable sailing trip. From that bench, Jesus awakened to still the waves and to further prove that he was the Son of God. And the cross made from the third tree provided the means for eternal life. The tree did become the most grand in the forest because even with its branches all stripped off, that tree still pointed to heaven from a hill called Calvary. We all have dreams and we have wishes, and that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to have dreams. He wants us to achieve our dreams. But as seasons pass and when things do not turn out exactly as we had envisioned, we don't need to be angry or disappointed. God has plans that we do not even know about. Sometimes we have to accept how things turn out when they're different from the way we preferred, or they don't happen as quickly as we had hoped. We are an instant society. I shared a story, a little anecdote, a few weeks ago at church about when a Russian gentleman came here. He thought he was so in awe of all the instant things in our supermarkets. You have instant milk. You just add water and you have milk. You have instant orange juice. You just add water and you have orange juice. You know, you have powdered milk. You have powdered orange juice. He said he went on down the aisle, and when he saw baby powder, he thought, what a wonderful country this is. So we are used to instant, aren't we? Sometimes it doesn't work out. You know, instant everything is not good. If we could have instant Christians, think what we could do. You know, we'd have powder down the aisle and pour water on them, and every church in the country would be full of Christians. But it doesn't work that way. It works out the way God wants it to work out, not the way we want it to work out instantly. There was a builder, Wallace Johnson, and he's built a lot of Holiday Inns and several convalescent hospitals. And he says that when I was 40 years old, I worked in a sawmill. Fred could relate to that, couldn't he, Matthew, working in a sawmill? One morning, my boss told me, "You're fired." Depressed and discouraged, I felt the world had caved in on me. It was during the Depression, and my wife and I greatly needed the small wages I had been earning. When I went home, I told my wife what happened, and she said, "What are we going to do now?" I replied, "I'm going to mortgage our little house, and we're going into the building business." My first venture was the construction of two small buildings, and within 5 years, I was a multimillionaire. Today, if I could find that man who fired me, I would sincerely thank him for what he did. At the time it happened, I didn't understand why I was fired. Later, I saw that it was God's unerring and wondrous plan. Many times, things don't turn out the way we'd planned for them, the way we'd wished it to be. We don't end up with the lives we thought we wanted. Did we expect too much? Maybe. Or was it that God's plan for us simply did not exactly fit what we had in mind? Generally, the hardships in our lives are not part of our plans. However, as the time passes by, the difficulties we face as we advance through life shape us into what we're really meant to be, the people we're meant to be. Just because we do not achieve all the things we wish for doesn't mean we failed. The outcome can be much more than we expected when God is in the lead. The verse today said he has made everything beautiful in its time. Things have worked out for the best for us, all in God's time. The story of the three trees is about dreams. Each young tree had a dream about what it would be when it was a full-grown tree. And just like us, they dreamed of being the very most important part of whatever they chose to be. A treasure chest in the richest house, filled with the best and most valuable jewels. The mast of a sailing ship. It may not be the most important part, but it holds the sail, and the sail is the first thing you see when a sailing ship comes into sight, is that sail. Or to be the most magnificent tree. To be a tree that everyone looks up to, that everybody envies. Now, all these dreams were about self and not considering others. People who make plans without considering what God wants for them often boast about what they're going to do, don't they? The planning is often self-sufficient and self-important. We're sure we know what's best for us. We have our plans. And we are certain everything is going to be great because it's our dream and we're going to achieve it. But until we've truly achieved something worthwhile in our lives, we often don't even see how God's been working to get us to this point. He's been guiding us. He's been putting people and events in our lives. He's been creating opportunities, and sometimes he's created hardships, or we've created the hardships a lot of times. But they keep us on track to what is best. In time, we've achieved a better goal than we may have thought when we selfishly planned it, a goal that will benefit others as well as ourselves. The three trees did not become what they dreamed, but in the end, they achieved a far greater purpose. Their dreams turned out to be anything but selfish. They turned out to benefit everyone, us included. Like the trees in their youth waiting for a season, we too may be waiting for our season to come. The time known only to God when our season will be revealed and our lives will fulfill God's plan. Are we trying to plan out our futures? Have we thought about all the events that will take place and put them in proper order? Have we considered God to be part of our plans? There is a very real possibility that He might readjust our plans to fulfill His will in our lives. Will we still go for it? Our future is 100% secure when we've placed our lives and our will in God's hand. And just as the sign says, we just need to let go and let God. Let us pray. Father, again, we thank you for this opportunity to gather at your house this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the lives you've given us. We thank you for the minds and the abilities that you've given us, for the gifts you've placed in each life. We thank you, Lord, for the time you've set for our accomplishments. Help us, Lord, to step back from today's time and to look at God's time, to look at the time that your Son spent here with us, the time since he's been with us, and the time to come when he will return. Help us, Lord, to be patient, to uplift one another, and Lord, help us to seek your will in our lives ahead of our own will. In Jesus' name, amen.